Welcome back to the AgeTurners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you in your daily Christian life and in your church life, that you could be one who could turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we will continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. And with today's broadcast, we would like to share more concerning this matter of eating. Eating is a major theme in the Bible, and it plays a crucial role in the accomplishment of God's economy. The Lord Jesus said in John 6:57, "He who eats me shall also live because of me." If we learn to eat the Lord, and if we eat him daily, there will be a spontaneous issue. And that is that we will be one with the Lord, and we will live him. We will be his reproduction, his expression. You know, many new and young believers struggle with the matters of sin and the world, realizing that there are impediments in their Christian life, things that frustrate their fellowship with the Lord and their going on with the Lord. But even though there's a sense in the conscience, many Christians try to deal with these matters by self-effort. And very often, the self-effort results in failure. Although we should deal strictly with the matter of sin and also with the world, God's desire is not a kind of outward behavior modification. What he wants to do is to come into us and change us from the inside. He wants to come in and reconstitute us. And he does this through a change of diet. There's a very good picture of this in the Old Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it does tell us that all the things of the Old Testament, especially that the children of Israel experienced and passed through, all those experiences are for our learning, for our application. So when we look at the history of Israel, especially in the book of Exodus, we can see that they started as slaves in Egypt, and they were rescued. They were redeemed out of Egypt. Moses was the savior that came to lead them out, and they were saved in this two-step process of experiencing the Passover lamb with the blood and the crossing of the Red Sea. And these two things typify our accepting of the Lord and experiencing his redemption and our being baptized. Well, the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt. They went to the wilderness. But we can see that a number of times, although they were rescued from Egypt, they still longed for the Egyptian diet. And also, in their behavior, they rebelled against Moses a number of times. So you might say that while they were brought out of Egypt, Egypt had not been brought out of them. And we are like this as well. We may have been saved and baptized, and we may even go to the meetings and call on the Lord and read the Bible, but we may find that there are things within us that are just like the worldly people. We have desires, we have inclinations, we have thoughts and tastes, just like our unbelieving friends. And sometimes this may even discourage us that there's no change in us. Well, what we need, brothers and sisters, is to focus on a change of diet. We need to eat the Lord. By eating, there will be a kind of spontaneous change. I'd like to read some portions from the Life Study of Exodus, message 34, that relate to this portion in Exodus. Although the children of Israel had been redeemed and delivered, they were still Egyptian in their constitution. The cells and fibers of their being were Egyptian in nature. As far as constitution is concerned, there was no difference between them and the Egyptians. The children of Israel had been saved, redeemed, rescued, and supplied, but their constitution was altogether the same as the Egyptians. God could never use such material for his heavenly dwelling. God's desire is to use his people as the material for the building of his habitation on earth. However, although the people were no longer in Egypt, they were still Egyptian in their constitution. Their tissue was Egyptian. They were a composition of the Egyptian element, for they grew up in Egypt and were raised on the Egyptian diet of cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Everything they ate was Egyptian. God's intention is not to bring a number of redeemed Egyptians into the heavens. He may deliver from Egypt those who have an Egyptian constitution, but he will not bring such people into his dwelling place. In order to be the material for his habitation, his people must be reconstituted. Like the children of Israel, we today have been delivered out of Egypt, out of the world, but in our nature and constitution, we are still worldly. Therefore, it is necessary for us to grasp the crucial point in chapter 16 of Exodus concerning the change of constitution. Isn't this our case, brothers and sisters? We've been saved and baptized, and we're going on in the church life, but it's very possible that our constitution is still Egyptian, at least in a number of areas. It's possible that we have experienced some changes in our lives through our eating of the Lord, through our enjoyment of the Lord thus far, but we have to probably admit we have a ways to go. We need to have the habit of eating the Lord, of having the heavenly diet. You know, students of medicine know that new diet always causes our cells and fibers to be gradually changed. This is our hope, not just deciding by self-effort to not do something and not continue with the old habits. What we need to focus on is a change of diet. Maybe it would be good to consider first, what is the so-called Egyptian diet? I'd like to read another portion from the message. Again, this is message 34 of the Life Study of Exodus. The Egyptian diet denotes all the things we desire to feed on in order to find satisfaction. Such a diet may include television, sports, music, magazines, newspapers, or other forms of worldly entertainment. Some people cannot live without television or newspapers. This indicates that these things are part of their Egyptian diet. Still others feed on window shopping. They may not care to buy anything, but they enjoy looking at things in the store windows. Through these illustrations, we can readily understand that America is the leading country with respect to the Egyptian diet. In this country, there is a modern Nile River bearing all manner of worldly supply. This message was given in 1980. Today, we can add many things to the list of examples, like mobile phones or the internet, Facebook, Twitter. All these things could be part of our diet. And it's not a matter, brothers and sisters, of now having a list of do's and don'ts and things that we are not involved with. The point is a change of diet. One last portion from the message that gives some testimony that of Brother Lee's experience and is, I think, very helpful for us to learn how to deal with these matters. It says, I can testify that I live on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on anything else. Frequently, I read a newspaper, but whenever a newspaper becomes part of my diet, I immediately repent, confess, and ask the Lord to forgive me for turning to something other than Him to satisfy my desire. Whenever we hunger and thirst for something other than Christ, we are wrong. It is important to understand this message in a proper way. My burden is not to issue a charge to the saints about the love of the world. It is to point out the need for a change in our diet. May the Lord take away the desire and hunger for anything other than Christ. So you see, brothers and sisters, it's not a matter of not doing this or that. In 1 Corinthians tells us that we can use the things that are on this earth, in the world, but don't abuse them. It also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. If we have the feeling that we can't live without something like our mobile phone or Facebook or the internet or certain shows, then that shows to us that those things have become part of our diet. Eventually, they've become our very constitution. The only way to overcome, the only way of salvation, is to have a change of diet. We need to eat the Lord consistently, daily. We need to learn how to draw the nourishment whenever we touch God's Word. This is both in the morning time, and again, I encourage you, and I hope that you have a time with the Lord in the morning, but also at other times during the day, whenever we get a chance to touch the Word or pray over some verses, or even just to stay in fellowship with the Lord as we're walking from class to class or taking care of daily affairs, even studying, that we could stay in the fellowship with the Lord. We need a change in diet. We know that even with physical food, we at first may not have that much taste for new types of food, but taste can be acquired. So in Psalm 34, it says, taste and see that Jehovah is good. We need to develop a taste for the Lord and His Word, a taste for fellowship, a taste for the meetings. And the only way is by tasting the Lord, by touching the Lord through the Word, by calling on Him. And the more that we contact Him, the more taste we will have, the more inclination we will have. And I believe you'll be able to testify that in a spontaneous way, many things that you had been having trouble dealing with, spontaneously, they will be dealt with. So, brothers and sisters, our hope is to eat the Lord. We need a change in diet that will result in a change in constitution. Then we can be those who are one with God, and also we are God's house, God's dwelling place. So don't fall into the trap of exercising self-effort to overcome things, to overcome the impediments in your Christian life. Taste the Lord. Eat the Lord. The more we eat the Lord, the more we will live Him and live because of Him. Well, that ends today's broadcast. We certainly would welcome any feedback from this or any of our podcasts in any of the series. So we would encourage you to give us your feedback. You can write us at contactus@ageturners.com. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. We give ourselves to you. Lord, we want to have the taste for you. Oh, Lord, make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.